Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there is enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so excited because I have Alori here with me today, and we met through Instagram a while back, a couple years now. She is just such a light and so many amazing things that she's up to. She runs Social Tea Community, which is a huge, amazing community for minority women, something that I've been a part of, but I would love for her to really introduce herself and all the other amazing things that she is up to in this world.
Hey guys, I'm so excited to be here with, I call her Dr. C. I'm sure you guys all call her something different, but this is a powerhouse woman. You guys are connected to such a force. And thank you so much for the introduction. Yeah, I'm going to say a little bit more about myself. Again, my name is Alori and I'm the creator of Social Tea, but I want to tell you a little bit about why Social Tea is so important to me. Social Tea started out of a need. So in 2018, I called off a wedding with someone who was verbally abusive to me, and women were not supportive. Women were telling me things like, you know, you'll never find someone. You might as well just marry him. All guys are dogs. And I thought that was quite strange and interesting. Started from the scratch, right? I didn't have a support system. I didn't have anyone to, you know, it was like a dark place for me. But what happened was I started to talk to different women that I didn't know, and they inspired me and they told me different stories and, you know, experiences that they had. And so I thought, what if we have a book, you know, of all these kinds of women? So I published a book called Story for the Gods, which is a collection of stories from different women from all over the world. So we had book launch tour, Dr. C, and we had different topics like human trafficking and, you know, different things like that. And, you know, people were like, this is something I've been looking for forever. How can we do more of it? And so that's how Social Tea started. It started out of a need. So I really like to say that story because I want you guys to know, and we'll talk a little bit about that. My why is something that was important to me, and it really drives all of, you know, the things that I do. Aside for that, I'm married to my handsome chocolate husband, Kofi, and we have a little chocolate drop, Camille. So we're, you know,
the cutest ever.
Thank you. I love being a mom. We have a photo booth company together, but, you know, there's a lot of things that I do, but those are the things that I'm focused. Those are the things in my funnel right now. We'll talk a little bit about that.
I love it. And it's just amazing what you have created, because I know Social Tea is just, it's so much. There's so much involved in it. Just the little part that I had involvement with, I was just amazed of everything. And you're so creative. There's always like the juices are flowing always from every phone call we've ever had. So, but that's part of an entrepreneur, right? The journey of an entrepreneur and just constantly what's next, what's next. So on your journey with starting Social Tea in particular and the photo booth as well, what have you found like challenge wise of continuing to move forward, or anything that's maybe been in your like a roadblock but you've been able to surpass based off of your experience?
Yeah, I was just talking to my best friend about this. She's actually a pharmacist as well. Mm-hmm. As she does wholesale real estate, and she's a realtor. She's flipping houses. She's awesome. But she's a wife, and you know, we were talking about her as a mom, because you know, we have blind spots. She's not a mom yet, but I was just letting her know that the biggest change for me as an entrepreneur and a mom has been my blind spots, because, you know, previously I'm able to just do things like when I want to, how I want to, at the time I want to. But now I have two human beings that rely on me, that are a part of, you know, my planning. And I think that's true for all entrepreneurs, right? We all have blind spots that we don't always identify. And I think that has been something that I've been working towards constantly. What are my blind spots in this season, right? Because you could have a blind spot before that, you know, you kind of did what you needed to do and then more come up. So for me, I think, you know, a blind spot would be, you know, COVID is a blind spot because you didn't see it coming. And, you know, your whole business deals with people, you know what I mean? Then you have to pivot and you have to think about different ways. You have to really identify, this is what I do.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, pivot based off of blind spots. So identifying those blind spots, Dr. C, and then figuring out how you can pivot and make it still true to yourself.
I love that because I do think so many people had to pivot in COVID, especially if it was in person, their business and everything along those lines. I know you had a lot of things in person as well. How were you able to identify those blind spots and pivot successfully?
Yeah, and I really want to be transparent with you, Dr. C. I felt devastated, you know, because I felt like, well, if we're not going to, so Social Tea, back up. Social Tea is a social networking community for women with the goal to win together. So our heart is meeting once a month in every major city about different topics. So if we can't meet in person, then what are we? Are we still a social networking community? So that was a question that I posed to my team and myself. What is it that makes it a social networking community? Is it actually meeting in person? Or is it connecting, you know, virtually, texting? What makes it a social networking community? And so that was a question that I posed to my team and myself. And for a little bit, it was quite awkward, you know, because I'm like, I don't really know what to do. Or, you know, it was awkward for everyone, I'm sure. But we were able to curate some online events that were very impactful. And when it was safe to start back, you know, curating in-person events, we have done so. But one of the things that I think we learned is to always have options. You know, oftentimes as entrepreneurs, we put everything in one basket because that's what we do well. And we don't leave room for options. And so that for me has been a great lesson that, you know, COVID has taught me that, okay, so if this doesn't work, what are the other options? Or if it does work, is there an option for other people who want to be a part that can't be a part? You know, so having different options.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think options are so important too, because you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, COVID really taught us that, where we have to be quick on our feet. And that's, I think, the beauty of being an entrepreneur. It's like you throw spaghetti at the wall to see if it sticks, and sometimes it doesn't, and that's okay. But then it's being able to know, okay, well, maybe I need to get a pot, maybe I need to get a pan, whatever it is to catch that when it does fall. But I think that's so important. And I'm so glad you brought that up too, because I think a lot of people were in this fear mode of what am I going to do, or how am I going to make this work? And the people that didn't pivot, business didn't go the way they had planned.
Yeah.
But I think that's, especially with Social Tea, how it's a social network, and just even the questions that are posed and how you work through that too, of understanding what's going to make sense moving forward.
Yep, exactly.
I love it. So I'm curious, because I know you're a new mom, being a mompreneur, as I like to call it, how have you been able to balance everything with being a new mom, running your businesses, your marriage, your friends, your family, everybody in your life? How have you been able to balance all of that?
Dr. C, you asked really great questions. And, you know, like I said, it's a different season. And for me, how I like to look at entrepreneurship or just life in general is funnels. Okay. So if you look at a funnel, there's like this small part. And for me, that's the why, the why of this season. So like when you're planning a wedding, or, okay, let's just say you're planning a wedding, your why at that moment is, you know, getting married. Like, I want to get married. So this is my small, you know, space. And then there are things that you need to do to make sure that why happens. And then after that, you think about other things that you can do. And that's a little bit up on the funnel. Like, let's say I want to now become a realtor And that is a small part here too. And these are the things I need to do. And then you start thinking about other things and thinking about, okay, do I have capacity to do this as well? And if I have the capacity, how important is this thing to me? Mm. And so that changes over the different seasons of your life. Because when I was single, I didn't ask any questions to anybody. Like if I was thinking about going to New York for New York Fashion Week, I would buy a ticket and go. And, you know, in lots of ways, it's been great having a partner who understands my want to do things, but also understands my let's talk it through. He's very much, you know, somebody who centers me and says, okay, let's talk about it. You know, where did this come from? And if you don't go, what's going to happen? If you do go, you know, what is the plan? You know, like things like that. And so having a partner that understands your vision and also as an entrepreneur is very helpful. I always say to people that, you know, you need to truly know who you are before you get married or get into a relationship. And the reason why is because you will realize when someone is trying to change you. And now you will obviously probably change a little bit, you know, with somebody that you're spending every day with. However, your core person needs to stay the same. And that's true as well with being a mom. And so why I'm saying that is because at times it's going to be hard, but you have to realize, okay, before I'm so-and-so's wife, before I'm so-and-so's mom, I'm this person. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, I'm seeing myself moving far away from who I want to be. Let's unpack. And this is how it works.
Yeah.
Dr. C, for me, I don't know about you, but sometimes like the tabs on the computer really tells me how my life is going at the time. You know, if I have a million tabs open, I know mentally I got too much going on, right?
Gotta X out of them.
Right? And so instead of Xing out one by one, I will close the whole, you know, browser without even thinking about the consequences. And at that point, I will start reopening one by one. And that's me unpacking and you know, knowing, okay, I've already unpacked that. And you know, I'm giving you guys a visual example, but mentally I'm doing that too, right? I'm writing things down. Like, what are all these things in my brain? And sometimes I'll say, you know, I just need to go outside and take a walk. And that's me unpacking and come back in. Oftentimes, Dr. C, it's hard because we as women, we want to be strong. We want to feel like, you know, the glue to our lives. And sometimes we are lash glue and sometimes we're gorilla glue. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Different level of glue. But if we're not together, there's no way we can, you know, be helpful for the people around us. And I think that's so important. You know, obviously, I know you know that's important, but I think it's important even more as a mom because it's truly, truly, truly this little person depending on you. They cannot do anything. If you don't feed them, they won't eat. If you don't change their diaper, they're just going to be dirty. And so it's a pressure. That's like a big pressure. That's not a pressure that you can like, you know, take off and put back on. Mm-hmm. So that's why you need people around you that you can say, you know what? I need an hour. I need you to take care of him. This is where the food is. Go outside, go for a run, go for a walk. Even if it means, you know, dropping them off at grandparents, if you have it, taking them to daycare, if that's an option. You can't change the world when you are about to burst. That's how I say it, you know? And overflow is okay. You know what I mean? I'm okay with overflow, but that bottle has to be open, right? You cannot be about to burst. And so I don't know if I answered your question.
Yes. No, there was so much to unpack there. But the irony of it. But I do think, too, it's like you hit on something so important. It's prioritizing yourself. And when it comes to even marriage or having kids, it's really not changing who you are. You're going to change. You're going to like evolve. Obviously, that's part of life. And especially in personal development, we're always growing. But I think like what you said too, it brought it home, like being the core of who you are and being able to adjust and modify based off of who you're with and who you need to take care of, children or older parents or anything like that. It's just really staying true to you. But at the end of the day, if you are not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be your best self for yourself, for your family, your friends, your children, your spouse, anyone.
Yeah.
If you're not taking care of yourself. But I think you described it perfectly of the tabs too, of like, if you have all these tabs open, you are not going to be able to, like, for a little bit you can maybe function, but it's going to take its toll mentally, physically, emotionally. And that is going to impact all your relationships. Because it's one of the main things I love talking about too, is like just being able to, that relationship aspect, that connection with people. And I know that's what you're all about, as well as social tea and everything you stand for. Because I do think that's so important to remember too. It's those relationships, but the most important relationship is the one we have with ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something else I wanted to kind of, you reminded me of. You know, it's, I think that people may take on a new role as mom, because I mean, it just happens sometimes. Not like sometimes you're planning for, but like, you know, it just happens. Yes. It's kind of like, oh, look at what's going on. But anyway, people take on that new role and they're so hard on themselves because they expect, you know, they expect themselves to still, okay, drop the baby and then just kind of bounce back. And I'm so against bounce back culture, mentally, physically, you know, emotionally, like you shouldn't bounce back. And also you're not going to be the same person, but you know, you should mentally know that you are going to be this, it's kind of like an amplified version of who you are, like a surreal version of who you were before. And that's okay. You know, give yourself grace, you know, give yourself grace. You're going to disappoint people, like probably your child, you're going to disappoint, you know? But I think this has nothing to do with entrepreneurship, but this is something that is, I've been reading this book. It Didn't Start With You. And I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a really great book. And I think everyone should read it. But oftentimes we have things that has happened to us in the past implicitly or things that we know about, and we don't work through it. And so when it comes to us being parents, oftentimes we have like such high expectations. Well, my mom, you know, was always late, so I'll never be late. Or my dad never read me books, so I'm always going to read my children books. And you kind of have this level of, you know, it's kind of like you're wearing suits around your children. You know what I mean? Because you're like, you're not you, because you're who you think is perfect. And at the end of the day, that may not be what this child needs. They may need that compassion. They may need the support. They may just need you to smile at them. You know, you won't know until you meet the child. And the reason that you're wearing these, you know, figurative suits around your children, that's something that you should unpack. You know, you should really think about, okay, so is there something that you need to heal from so that you don't create this monster wall between you and your child? Because instead of you being who you are, which is exactly what your child needs, you are this perfect example of, you know, that. And I think why I'm saying that is because, you know, people ask me all the time, oh my God, I'm going to be a mom. I just need to be perfect. I need this. I need that. And one of the things that I learned is sometimes my son just, he comes and he just puts his hand on me, but, and that's all he needs. He doesn't, oh, well, now he's here. Now let me teach him sign language. Great. Okay. It's fine. Like, you're all right. If you teach him sign language, great. If you teach him in when he's a year, great. If he is, oh, I read that I should teach him by 3 months. Calm down, you know, calm down. It's okay. Stop reading the books. If it's going to cause you stress or anxiety or pressure, do what's in front of you. How can you be a present parent? That's what's needed. So I just wanted to kind of say that.
Oh, I'm like, I'm feeling all of this right now, because I think it's just, people need to hear this too. And at the end of the day, it goes back to just being an individual. Like, nobody is perfect, and it's being human. And I love that you said, like, being what your child needs and being unique to, like, what they need, because every child's different. You can grow up in the same household, but every child needs something different. Like, I have a sister and a brother, and, like, we're all very different, and we all needed very different things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, our parents were able to provide that in some form or fashion. But I do think it's not trying to be just like your parent or just the opposite of your parent.
Exactly.
And there's a quote I recently saw. It's like, he'll, what was it? Oh, it's escaping me. It's something along the lines of, like, heal yourself first so your children don't have to heal from you.
Oh, yeah. I actually.
Is that, have you heard it?
I tweeted that, something like,
oh,
that. It went viral. It said, no, well, actually the tweet.
Maybe it's a quote I saw.
Maybe. Or it was like a couple, like, this was like a couple years ago. But basically it said, I want my husband to love me in a way that my children won't have to heal from. I said something like, yeah.
It's
kind of like, you know, we think about the whole relationship with your child's father or your partner different than your relationship with your kids, as if like those aren't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah.
It's very weird. And I mean, I'm half Nigerian and half Trinidadian, but in like the Nigerian culture, oftentimes people will say, I never saw my parents hug or kiss, and I didn't hear my father say, I love you, or I never, you know, there was never a father-daughter dance, things like that you hear. And so it separates that relationship with a parent, with you as a parent and you as a wife, or you as a father and you as a brother. And truly, that's why a family is what we call a unit. You know, it's one unit. And if you say, well, this is a good man, but he's not a good father, this is an issue. It's an issue because your children are not just children. You know, they're people. They're people's fathers in the future. They're people's, you know, husbands. They're people's wives. They're people's best friends. They're people's doctors, lawyers, teachers, they're people's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
These are people, you know, and so oftentimes we think of them as, you know, they're just kids, and they'll have to heal from that realization that they're not a full person if we're not very intentional in the beginning. And me and my husband will hug in front of my 6-month-old and say, I love your dad. Your dad loves me, and we love you. Well, I mean, people may think like, oh, he doesn't know, but he should feel the ultimate level of love. He should feel that when he's 1 year old, he should feel a true, how can I say this? This is what our expectation is. Our expectation is that when he's able to talk, you know, he should tell a stranger, my family, we love each other. We're a loving family. I love my father. My father loves me. We love each other. He shouldn't say, I love my mom. You know, it should be all one, like kind of a line, basically. So that's another story.
No, but I love that too. Because I mean, like, family systems is definitely my like forte. But I do think too, it like, it goes to how like the foundational pieces, right? With anything, like even how you describe everything as a funnel, and it's that funnel of the family unit and being able to connect and being able to be on that same page. Because I do think it's, every family's different. Everyone has a different approach, but at the end of the day too, when kids have that foundation, they can grow into amazing human beings and not have to heal. You can still be an amazing human being and not have that upbringing. But I think too, it's just really being able to, it's like a house. You have that cement down to make sure that no matter what weathers that house, you're still standing strong. And I love that. I love how you explained it. Because I haven't heard it in that. What?
No, I was going to say, I'm sure you know about weathering and housing being from Florida.
The hurricanes just come right through. Always, always. Well, in Houston too.
There's... Oh yeah, that's true. That's true.
all around. It's relevant. I love that. So thank you for explaining that. So when it comes to though what you're working on right now, I would love to know a little bit more of the last year or so, because I know a lot has changed in your life in particular, marriage, baby, everything. But what has been making you like light up and excited when it comes to entrepreneurship?
You know, that's another great question. Like, you're really awesome with these questions. Honestly, and I, okay. Oftentimes people think entrepreneurship is the same as social media, which.
Please break it down.
It's 100,000% not. You cannot have an Instagram and say you're a business owner. Like, you have to have like taxes and, you know, that's another story. But basically the reason I bring that up is because people think, you know, if I don't get 100,000 likes, then I'm not successful. Or, you know, if this person doesn't have 50,000 followers, then she's not successful. I want to give an example and then I'm going to answer the question.
Yeah.
Okay. When I was publishing the book Story for the Gods, one of the authors was in New York. New York was not on the list of a place to go. She said, you need to have a book launch in New York. And I was like, it's kind of like too late. I didn't plan it. She said, I will bring the people you have. You just need to, you know, curate it. So I curated it. She has about 1,000 followers at the time, you know, maybe 50 likes or something on her picture. I mean, on her pictures. She brought, I think it was 17 or 18 people by herself. Okay. By herself, all of those people were there to see her. And what that let me know is that her influence was a people influence, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. She had what I would call a true influence. And that, to me, kind of opened up my eyes, right? It showed me something, you know, different than what, I guess, the lie that I was thinking, that social media means success, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing that I'm going to say to answer your question. Mm-hmm. For me, what has, you know, kind of lit my fire, you know, daily isn't likes or comments or whatever the case may be. It's the people who send me emails and DMs and say, you are inspiring me. You've changed, you know, my trajectory. You've made me love myself. You have, you know, made it easy for me to be a mom. You inspire me. These comments that people email and DM and text me, this is what makes me go. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is what lets me know that I'm creating impact. So whether or not I have 1,000 likes on a picture or 2 likes on a picture, the fact that weekly people are inspired, people are motivated, that I am the reason that somebody keeps going, it really, really makes me happy. It makes me feel that I'm creating, like, even if it's a small impact, but impact in the world. That's one. And then the second thing is my siblings. I'm the oldest of like 5. I'm like 4. Actually, I'm 3. I know. I got all these siblings, you know, I got 3 on my mom's side and 2 on my dad's side. So they inspire me. You know what I mean? Because they're a new generation. You know, my sister is like, you know, I posted something on TikTok. You know, I started TikTok like 3 weeks ago, like, you know, being serious. And, you know,
I love it.
It's kind of going good. But, you know, some people said some mean things and I'm like telling my sister, it's just like, oh, that's what they do at TikTok. They're just there to, I guess, troll. And, you know, I was just so like, oh my God, they're saying these mean things. Like, what's going on? Like, yeah, this is a different world. This is not the safest.
It's changed. It changed.
Yeah, right? I'm like, okay, you know. So I, you know, delete these comments and, you know, keep going. But they are our next generation, right? They're like 18, 17. So they're just now, you know, becoming adults. They're just now learning. And one of my sisters said something to me. She said, I wanted to buy you something, but, and I was going to text your husband, which is her brother-in-law, but I just knew you checked his Instagram. And I said, you know, stop here. Why do you think I check his Instagram? And why do you think that's healthy? you know, like, is that something that you would expect when you're in a relationship? I started unpacking these things because I'm like, A, I don't check my husband's Instagram. I mean, I don't like, oh, I found his phone. Like, I'm not like that. That's mm-hmm. A. And then B, I don't know that I think that's healthy. C, and I don't have the expectation. But her overall thing was, I know. She knew that I was checking his Instagram. And so what made that normal to her? Who told her that was normal? Mm. And if she's just thinking that, maybe she should rethink that. Maybe... Anyway, so those are things that push me. It makes me ask questions. It makes me, you know, understand maybe another generation or other people's views. Because for me, I have my views that I'm very strong on, right? I'm a Christian. I believe this. I like it. But I really am interested to hear other people's views like that I haven't been before. But my siblings, they push me. And you shouldn't say that because it means this. And you shouldn't think that because these people could feel this way. And I'm like, I never thought of it this way. So in two ways, I'm pushing people and being pushed.
I love that. No, and you know, it's so true too, because the new generation and just their thought process, but it goes back to even what we were talking about before. It's the core. You stay to your core, but you're able to maneuver based off of like the interactions that you come across and adapt to that and ask those questions to have a better understanding. It doesn't mean you have to change your viewpoint, but I mean, sometimes our viewpoints do shift a little based off of the new knowledge we learn that we haven't been exposed to before.
Right, exactly. And honestly, I really love how you say that, you know, shifting your perspective. It could mean that I still don't believe A, but I understand why B believes B. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's as important as agreeing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because it's also like you put yourself in other people's shoes, being able, like, especially when you're building a business or like hearing different perspectives, because we can have ours, but like when we're dealing with consumers too, just hearing what they have to say or experiencing that, so we can make the shifts that we need to. However, at the end of the day, we're still going to do what we feel is best, but it's just, it brings in more information, and how we digest it is the difference.
Yep.
I love it. I feel like I could continue to talk to you forever. But
yeah, I'm like, I want to do more of these. Okay.
Yes. No, we'll definitely have to have you back. But I do have my rapid fire questions for you. Okay. So these, I haven't given them to you yet, I don't believe. But if I did, I don't know. Well, we're going to go with it. So the first question I have for you is, who is your hero?
My hero. Ooh, a good question. You know, it is Women's History Month, so I'm gonna go with a hero. I made that up. That's not a thing.
I love it. We can go with it.
My hero. Yeah, I think my hero right now, and I think, you know, these things change all the time, you know, but right now my hero or hero is my cousin. My cousin, she created Be Fine. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a swimsuit brand.
You've heard of it? I recently just heard of it.
Okay, good. So
yeah,
they do Miami Swim Week, like, you know, they've been a Sports Illustrator, but that's not what is exciting to me. What's exciting about her is that I remember when she first came from Nigeria, she had this thick accent. And I just, like, this girl is crazy. Like, you know, she's older than me, but I'm just like, she's crazy. Like, I just thought she was crazy, but I thought she was really cool, you know? And I remember her being in dance, you know, team, and like making the uniforms. Like, you know how jerseys, she would like cut the jerseys up and like do just these creative things. And I just thought she was super creative. And I remember, you know, Nigeria is a very, very, I think it's becoming a little bit more liberal, but it's very conservative in your job choice. You know what I mean? You're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or engineer. That's it.
Like, those are the options.
Those are the options. Like, you can be like a variety of doctor, but like,
you're going to have to be a doctor.
Doctor is, you know? Mm-hmm. She said that she wanted to be a fashion designer. And they're like, no, that's not an option for you, you know? What do you mean by fashion designer? And she was the first influencer I know. Like, she literally was all over Pinterest. She was like, she had like all those hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram. This is when Instagram was brown, the brown logo.
This is like way back when.
The first, when there was no Androids, you know what I mean? So this is like the first Instagram. She had all these followers. And the reason why this is kind of, you know, okay. The day that I remember, she was working at Starbucks, okay? Mm. And she gave me some kind of exotic drink that, you know, is off the menu or whatever the case may be. But she let me know at that time, she's like, yeah, I mean, I have plans to, like, really do this swimsuit line. And I just thought, you know, okay, like, you know, like, all right. And today, like, you know, Beyonce has worn her swimsuits. Like, all these celebrities have worn her swimsuits. And she does not stop. It's not like, okay, I've arrived. No, I'm not even 10% where I'm going. And that motivates me to let me know however successful I am. I'm really, really just touching the edge. I want to continue. And I want to believe in myself so much that my wildest dreams can come true. So she's my hero. I don't know if she knows that, but, you know, we talk often and she deserves accolades.
She sounds like an amazing woman, and I'm so glad that is your hero, because I do think too, it's, you know, I was just talking about this with somebody recently, it's no matter, like, we have roadblocks, but it's when you have like a really good month and then a really bad month, it doesn't let you stop or rest on your laurels. It's allowing you to continue to move forward, and it's like that, acknowledging it, celebrating it, but not stopping.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, that's how your cousin is, and that's your inspiration. Yep. She sounds very inspiring. Yep. I love that. Well, that kind of brings me to my next question, which is, what motivates you to work hard?
Yeah. I think, you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit, you know, I was talking about other things, but, you know, it is women that don't feel seen, you know, that want to feel seen, that need to feel seen, that want to be inspired, that needs to inspire people. Because I think, and I know that we are all blessed to be a blessing. Like, we can't just be, you know, a successful person. We need to bring people along with us. We need people to continue in our legacy, because our legacy, yes, is our children, but it's also the human beings that we impact that can say, actually, my hero is Dr. C, right? Because of those interactions. So that's what motivates me.
I love it. I love it. And I think that's the beauty of it too, being able to, like, recognize what our why and why we're doing these things and moving forward to that. So it doesn't keep us stagnant ever. I love it. So the next question is, if you were a superhero, what would be your power?
I love it. You know what? I would say I would want two things, but I think it's kind of the same. Mm-hmm. Being in a lot of places at once, and also being able to fly places. Because honestly, if I could just be in, like, Morocco right now, honey, you know, like, and just fly there real quick and get a little bit of inspiration and come back. I think I'll be able to go 24/7, but I'm there and it's taking this many hours and booking this and so.
I love that. I think that's a good one. That's a really good one. So my next question is, if you could have a meal with four people, living or dead, who would they be?
Yeah, the first person would be Rihanna. You know, she's just a boss. I mean, she is the example of coming into a room, doing what you have to do so that you can have what you want to have, you know, because absolutely. I don't think that her why is music, but she did. I have music and somebody wants to help me. So I'm going to get in there. And then once I get into the room, I'll be able to expand. And that's what she did.
Yeah.
I want to pick her brain about that. You know, I have to say Lil Wayne, and I think the reason why, this is so dramatic and random, but When I was going into college, I wrote my college entrance essay on Lil Wayne because the question was, who's the most influential person in the world? And in 2011, Lil Wayne was quite influential. And the reason I said that was because I was asking somebody why they smoke weed, and they told me, you know, I remember listening to my first Lil Wayne album, and he, you know, whatever sound he made, and it influenced him, you know, to want to smoke weed. And I thought, wow, that is influence for you to use your music and not even be talking about something, but you did something on your music and this person, you know, changed their life, whatever. And I thought to myself, if he really, really could use his influence to do great things, he could. I just felt like he could really use his voice to do some things. But that's not to say he doesn't have influence. I just would love to talk to him and be like, what's going on with you? Why couldn't you be more influential in such a positive way? Or, you know, anyway, that's another story. But yeah, number two, I know, that's super dramatic.
No, it's not dramatic. It's interesting.
Right? Lil Wayne. But I actually know quite a few of his songs. I really like his music. But
yeah.
The third person would be Queen Elizabeth, and here's why. Now, I mean, she's had to give up so much to be the queen. I mean, obviously I'm watching The Queen on Netflix, so, you know, this is just my...
It's relevant.
That's my view of what I think. But I would love to talk to her and feel, how do you feel like knowing that your life is known by everyone in the world and you can't just like just pick up and do what you want to do? Like, how has that impacted you? Like, would you change that? Or was that, how has life been for real? Like, you know what I mean? Like, tell me the truth. Like,
what's underneath it all?
What's underneath it all, you know? So that's number three. And then number four, I would want to talk to Jesus, because let me tell you, this whole turning the other cheek thing and forgiving people 70 times seven and just being meek and just being calm, I don't know how. How did you live in this world? Talk to C.
Telling you, I don't know.
Because, you know, if you drive, you know, with this traffic, I'm telling you, you're going to have a few choice words for me, you know? Just traffic, you know? So
yeah, no, I get it. Traffic and I don't go well either.
Yeah. Jesus, you know, tell me. But yeah, those are my four people.
I love it. I love that you, like, explained each one, too. Like, yeah. Why? Yeah. Because I feel like that's going to be a fascinating dinner. Yeah. Or lunch or brunch or whatever.
Tell me why you know, anyway.
That would be a fun bunch to have together at the same exact time.
Exactly. And I really love that question because I never thought of that, you know.
Yeah. I love it. What's the most daring thing you've ever done?
Ooh, daring. Daring. Dr. C, what's the most daring thing you've ever done?
Ooh.
Ooh, I'm turning it back on you.
Hey, go for it, you know? Anything can happen. You know, I think it was, I think it was the big moves I made. Like, when I was 20 years old, I graduated college, and then I moved from Florida to California, not knowing a soul. That was pretty daring. And then recently, just picking up and, like, in my 30s, leaving Florida again because I had moved back, moving to Colorado. I think that's, at least in life, just not knowing what's going to happen, but, like, just trusting my gut. That was pretty daring because I didn't know what was going to happen. But it's working out. Yeah.
And then you said two.
Oh, those were the two. Oh, I'm thinking, like, I was like, do I have anything else
okay
that I can think of? I don't know. I wasn't prepared.
All right. You threw it at me, so I'm like...
Ah, yeah, you know what? I love it. Bring it.
And, you know, I would say definitely calling off the wedding, that first person, because I almost just married him because I was thinking it would be easier to do that. You know, it'll be easier just to be unhappy. I mean, many people are unhappy. Like, why should I be different, you know? I didn't see successful marriages growing up, so it's like... Maybe marriage isn't successful, you know, and I had to, I said that my generation depends on my decision. You know, I said that to myself. I thought to myself, wow. if my generation depends on me choosing myself, then I'm going to have to choose myself. And so that was so heavy for me, but it was like, I had to do it. And it didn't take a long time, because it took a long time for me to, you know, be unhappy. But when I decided, you know, I'm not doing it, it was like, it was kind of like ripping off a Band-Aid. Like everything happened all after that, you know. But I mean, look at me now. I'm married to the love of my life. You know, I have a son. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm happy. I'm healthy, you know, mentally. So, yeah.
Oh, see, that's like what I love too about just you in general. But I think that is very daring, because a lot of people would have gone through with it or have been unhappy or miserable or just in a situation that wasn't safe or healthy for them. But you had the power, the willpower to say no. And especially, I love that, like questioning yourself about the generation, like the generation to follow. And I mean, I never even thought about that, but I think a lot of people listening could really benefit from just hearing that, or like asking themselves those questions to really protect themselves, but also for future generations too, like what we were talking about earlier as well. That was powerful. I mean, it's been a very powerful conversation. You're a powerhouse.
You know, when you said that, I really want to speak to whoever this person is out there, whoever is listening.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like a dirty rag. You know, I thought like no one would ever love me again, because people have my save the dates, you know, like how embarrassing is that? Like, what if he's, whoever my husband's going to be, it sees that, you know? So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to focus on business, entrepreneurship, and I don't ever want to be married. I just want to focus on that. And, you know, I found my husband at a business conference.
I love it. You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just want to tell that person that, you know, make the decision that's right for you, because at the end of the day, what is for you is for you. I mean, and that's with entrepreneurship. That's with relationships. That's with friendships. And it's okay to walk away from something comfortable and be uncomfortable, because at the end of the day, the choice you make today, again, it'll affect your future generations and their generations and their generations.
Yes, no, and I'm glad you like really reiterated that, like being able to understand too the fact that this impact, whatever the decisions are, it's remembering what's best for you at the end of the day, because everyone's going to have an opinion. Everyone is going to say, don't do this, do this, whatever it may be, whether it's a business venture, a relationship, where you live, whatever it may be. But you are absolutely right. It goes back to doing what is best for you, because it, you are the one living your life. Yep. Just remembering that. Oh, I love it. So my next question is, what is the phone app you use the most?
Oh my gosh. Wow. I mean, I guess my phone can tell me. I'm going to go on my phone and I'm going to see.
Perfect. Live in action.
Let's see, guys. I'm going to go to my
moment of truth.
I know, right? Because I can lie, you know, but I'm not going to.
I love it.
What is it? It's called something like Screen Time, maybe. Let me see.
Screen Time?
Yeah, Screen Time.
What's Screen Time?
So Screen Time, if you have
Screen Time. I thought you said Green Time. I was like, what's Green Time? I haven't heard of this app.
No.
So Screen Time, yes. That will definitely break it down. I get notified. I've been on my phone too much.
Yeah, you know, like, oh, what is the app that you use the most, or who uses the most, like, storage or whatever the case may be? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay, so the app that I use the most, you know, embarrassingly enough, is Instagram.
That's not embarrassing. I feel like a lot of people use Instagram a lot. No judgment.
You don't want to know how many hours I got on this day.
This is a judgment-free zone. At least here.
And then it's Canva, and then it's OpenShot. So all of these things are for Instagram.
I mean, it's all in the family. It makes everything work, you know? It needs a little boost.
And then, you know, my fourth app is this game called Fishdom. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Oh my
no.
Girl, the nag. I'm on. Guess what level I'm on? Just guess. Any guess.
I'm like, I don't know how many levels, but I'm going to guess like 50.
50?
Yeah.
Girl, I'm going to see if you can see this. I'm going to see if you can see. I'm going to turn it around and see.
Okay. I'm excited. I wonder how off I am. Oh, I can't see it.
Hold on. Can't see it. Ah, you can't see it because of the screen. But it is 4,115.
I'm completely off. Well, you know, you must be really good.
But, you know, I learned a lot of lessons from the game. I think in the shower, I don't know if you, like, learn things in the shower. But
yeah, shower thoughts all the time.
Yeah. So
it's like, a thing.
You know, the thing is, there is an overall, and this is, like, so true for entrepreneurship. Oh, my gosh. This is, like, going to be a thing. Like, this is going through my mind right now. But in the game, there are specific things to do, like, get 5 squid or collect this many rubies or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But within the game, you could do different things. And so, like, if you put 5 of these rubies together, it'll turn into a bomb or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in life, a lot of times I could lose. Okay, you have, like, maybe, like, 10, you know, moves to get, you know, whatever it is that you want to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm so focused on, like, the mini task, I forget the overall task of collecting these squids, right? Because I'm mm-hmm. trying to get these bombs. So I'm trying to get, how can I get 5 together, 5 together? And I'm wasting my steps. Okay. And then I look around, you know, and so that's this truth with, you know, entrepreneurship. You get so focused on Instagram that you forgot the whole reason why you're even an entrepreneur. You got the whole reason of creating goals. You forgot the whole reason of why in the first place, and you're wrapped up on, oh Lord, I didn't meet my goal this month because I was so focused on one part of business, which probably is Instagram.
And, you know, to bring it full circle too, because earlier you were like, there's a difference between social media and being an entrepreneur.
Yep. So there you go.
There we go. Done deal. All right. So I have a couple more questions. What's the last book that you've read?
Yeah, the book I'm reading right now. Okay. So there's 2, but the book I'm reading right now is It Didn't Start With You. And let me tell you who it's by, because I don't want to mess up the name.
And is this book about generational, like breaking the generational patterns?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Because I feel like I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, guys. I mean, it's by Mark Wolynn, Wolynn. And the whole name of the book is It Didn't Start With You, How Inherited Family Trauma Shapes Who You Are and How to End the Cycle.
That's powerful. This book is definitely something everybody should read.
Everybody should read. And I think when I got pregnant, I got so stressed out, like, oh, I need to, like, you know, like I was saying, like trying to explain, oh, I need to be a perfect mom. And this book really kind of put in perspective, like, you know, you need to be a present mom, but you need to deal with the reasons why you're feeling this way. So everybody should read that book. And then a fun book. Let me make sure I'm saying it right, because I'm, you know, reading on my phone.
All good. As long as we get the name of the book, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The second book is by Damilare Cuckoo, and it says, Nearly All the Men in Lagos Are Mad. Like, mad.
Oh.
Crazy. you know, it's a really funny book. You know, just talking about different stories about different crazy men. And I just think it's just a funny book to kind of like relax you. And I think every time you're reading a serious book, you should also follow up with some comic relief.
Yes. So,
you know, play it that way. So read a chapter here, read 2 chapters there, read 3 chapters here, read a chapter here. That's what I think you should read 2 books at a time when you're reading some serious book.
No, I like that. It balances it out, because when you're reading something so heavy, that can really take its toll mentally and emotionally. You might not feel it physically, but eventually you will if you're not taking care of yourself. Yep. It goes back to that self-care piece. So if there was a movie about your life, who would play you?
Okay. You know, that's a great question. And it's a funny question because, like, I know who exactly. You know, have you seen the movie Scandal?
I haven't.
Okay. So in Scandal, there's Olivia Pope, and people always say, I remind them of her. And it's not like she's the woman sleeping with the president. And I'm like, what? Like, why would that be me? But you know, they'll say, no, it's because she's like a woman who, if she wants something, she'll get it done no matter what. She will get it done. She's like, this is what I want, and this is how it's going to be. And so, and I think Kerry Washington, aka Olivia Pope, is beautiful. So I'll accept it. And I would want her to play me.
I love that. That she's an amazing actress. She really is.
Yes, she is.
That would be a cool movie to see with her acting skills. So my next question is, what's your favorite family recipe, if you have one?
Oh my gosh, another amazing question. You know, I told you I'm half Nigerian, half Trinidadian. So, you know, obviously everybody who is Nigerian or knows Nigerian, they'll know. Nigerian jollof is superior, and obviously I love that recipe. But on the Trinidadian side, they have something called pilau, and I'm actually gonna make it this week as well. I just have to take the chicken out to season it. But pilau has chicken, pumpkin, carrots, pigeon peas in it. What else? And you know, rice. I don't know if I said rice, but it's a rice base, and it's like so good. It is so good. Oh, you season the meat first for 24 hours, and then you use that chicken stock to cook everything, and it's just so good.
Well, I'm sure it is delicious, and it sounds like it's very hearty, but like very healthy too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, exactly.
Love it. Well, good luck cooking that this week. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal, what animal would it be?
Oh my gosh, what a question. Wow. Oh my gosh, an animal? I mean, animal I would want to be, or animal?
Yeah, like what, like your personality, and like what would you describe it as?
I mean, I think I look like a gerbil, you know, like, that's not what I would describe myself as. I think I look like a gerbil, but I'm okay with that, you know what I mean? But I think I would be a lioness, you know, because, you know, I am, like, powerful, I'm groundbreaking, and this is me affirming myself, by the way. I'm not being, like, cocky, but I'm groundbreaking. I am a force. When people see me, their lives change for the better, and people don't change me, period.
Love it. Standing in your power. I love it. Unapologetically.
Right.
So what's the one thing that no matter what your day is like, that it instantly makes it better?
You know, my son. Sometimes I'm like, what do you want? Why are you crying? Oh, I gotta get work. And he looks at me and he's like, oh my gosh, I love you. And I melt, and I hug him up and I just lay there with him. And then he looks at me and he touches my face. And I just know, you know what? Nothing is worth stress. I gotta be 100% for this little boy. And, you know, my husband, too. Honestly, God was thinking about me when he made him, because although he's very quiet, very calm, he's so caring. He's so forgiving. He's so understanding, because oftentimes, I'm going to tell you a secret, I snap at him. I'll yell, and I'm like, I don't know why you're doing this. And then I'm like, and then he'll be like, okay, well, I'm sorry. Next time, you know, tell me how to do it. And I'm just like, why are you so nice? Oh my gosh, you know. My little family, just like, oh, they're the best thing I could ever ask for, period.
Oh, I love it. And you're so deserving of it as well. I think we all are deserving, but I think especially for like what you've gone through and like what you've been able to create for yourself and your family is huge. And it's just a testament to not settling and knowing exactly what you want.
Yeah. And going after whatever you want and knowing that you deserve it. And I think, you know, this is another thing, but I think oftentimes we as women, we're so humble, we're so giving that we don't feel like we don't feel like we deserve, right? We feel like if we can get 10%, you know, that's good enough. And it's not good enough. We should have 100%. I don't think that I should come to the altar with 50 and then your partner should come with 50. No, I think we both should be at 100 so that we can overflow, that we, when we have children, there's enough versus us, you know, pouring back into each other. I think you should deserve the sun and the moon and the stars and a nice dress and red bottoms and a Gucci bag. You need it all. You deserve it all.
Yes, we do. Oh, I love it. Just a couple more questions.
No problem.
So what's your favorite way to spend your day off? Like when you have a day off, just like, what do you love to do?
I would love to go to the beach every day off, but I know you probably like, oh, we do that all the time in Florida, but yeah, I don't have a beach near me and I do.
Well, I don't anymore. I don't anymore.
Now you don't, but you can go skiing or I don't know, but I would love to just be on the beach. I think the beach inspires me. But you know, since I don't have a beach, what I like to do on my day off, honestly, is be still, you know, not do anything, not be responsible for anything, but you know, the people that live in my house. But you know, other than that, just like being still and getting inspired through like nothing, doing nothing, because sometimes it mentally reactivates me because I'm like, okay, yesterday I didn't do anything and I just feel so fresh and you know, I'm ready to take on today. You know?
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's really important to stay present and just not have like all these things that we have to do and we're always on the go and like the hustle mode, hustle culture, but being able to just reflect and be still.
Yep, exactly.
Note that, everyone. And what is something an outsider, somebody outside of your industry wouldn't know, like about your industry?
Yeah, I think that people think, you know, social entrepreneurship is so easy and so fun and it's less work. I think that it's more work because, you know, people are changing all the time, which means their needs and their wants are changing all the time, which means that you have to change your marketing, which means that you have to do more research, which means that you are always changing, meaning your thoughts are always changing, meaning your teams are always changing, meaning how you interact changes. Everything is changing all the time because it's contingent on people. And I think it is fun, but it is work.
Yeah. I think that's a really good awareness for people to understand too, because there's a lot that goes behind the scenes that people might not realize. Well, I have one final question for you, which is where can people find you and what do you have going on that people can follow as well?
Follow me on Instagram at Allori Trini, website on alloritrini.com. And I'm super excited. It's a blog and it's motherhood and lifestyle. And so we'll be talking about fashion. We'll be talking about, you know, relationships. So I'll be giving tips on, you know, how to have a healthy relationship, because I think, you know, you could be in a relationship, but is it healthy? And how would you know it's healthy? I'm going to be talking about motherhood. I'm going to be talking about things like the joy of journaling. I'm really big in journaling because for me, it really makes me feel, you know, together, because I'm able to unpack. And sometimes you don't want to talk to people, you want to unpack. And so we're going to have quarterly writing prompts. Yeah, I'm encouraging you guys, you know, on the, you know, newsletter. It's not going to be something like I'm selling all the time. It's just really a blog for you guys to really, really just become a community with yourself, right? Know thyself.
Yes, yes. You're speaking to the souls.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's hersocialtea.com. And we have Instagram, the_socialtea. And what is going up every month? Literally, we have something going on. However, in May, we're having something called Black Woman. And we did that in 2020, right before the shutdown in February. And what it is a panel discussion. So we're going to be talking about different things like the angry Black woman myth, you know, whether that's real, whether it's not real, you know, let's talk about it. We're going to be talking about like the family dynamic and myths about that. And just it's over wine. So it's going to be in LA, Houston, and New York. And so follow us on Instagram, you know, and join our newsletter. And every month we have something in about 20 cities. Actually, we tried to do Colorado before. So hopefully maybe we'll come back.
We got to talk.
We'll talk about that. But if we're not in your city and you're interested in being a chapter lead, you know, you can send us an email at connect@hersocialtea.com, and we'll love to bring a chapter to your city. And what it entails is literally you connecting with women in your area doing whatever, whether that's yoga, whether that's mental health, whether that's entrepreneurship, whether that's being a mompreneur, whatever it looks like for you every month, you're just connecting. And, you know, it's, you know, it is a little bit of time, you know, but it is valuable. So if you're interested in bringing it to your city or seeing if it's in your city, feel free to message me anywhere.
I love it. And yes, it's an amazing community. I am definitely full for supporting. Love it. Social Tea is definitely a community that you want to be a part of. So thank you, Alori, for being on here today. I'm so honored that we had the opportunity to chat and for people to get to know more of you and what you have going on and the amazing things and just sharing your life with us.
And thank you so much for even, you know, seeing me, you know, because being seen is important, and I appreciate you for seeing me and, you know, bringing me on here and allowing me to meet these people and connect with them, and connect with you. And, you know, you're awesome. You're amazing. You're powerful. You're just really great. And, you know, I just love that little girls can see a doctor like you, and, you know, I'm proud of you.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. Well, thank you. And I'm just so glad that people can see you and are hearing you, and your message is so powerful and important. Make sure to like, subscribe.